No cicadas yet. Where are all those bugs?
Here's the thing. My topic this week was almost cicadas. Really? I started looking it up and I was like, I can't. Welcome to the Freak Show.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Megan.
This is a podcast where Megan and I freak each other out, and it's fun and freaky, and we like it.
Yeah, each week we bring a different topic of something that kind of freaks us out or a story, and one of us brings a drink that is a hint to what their topic that they're going to talk about is. Lauren, this week, you made a cocktail with all of my ingredients in my bar.
I mean, what else is new?
Yeah, it's true.
You don't want me to use it, don't stock it.
She was making it, and I go, did you bring anything for this cocktail? And she goes, no.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
It's gin.
Mm-hmm.
Dry vermouth,
mm-hmm.
lime juice, simple syrup, and tonic water. What am I going to bring?
Is that a gimlet? What is that? I guess it's similar to a gimlet.
It's similar to a gimlet plus vermouth. Does a gimlet have vermouth?
It doesn't, and I don't love vermouth, so I don't think I'm going to love...
That's okay.
I don't love dry vermouth.
You know what I did for you? I put in more gin than it called for.
Thank you.
And not more vermouth.
Okay, good.
And then you just top it with a tonic. It's like a little splash.
Okay.
And it's called Snow in Spring. I think it's going to be good.
Okay. I think you are going to talk about climate change.
That's such a me topic.
I know. I know. Should we rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first?
Yeah.
Ready?
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. I cut Megan's paper. I'll go first. Climate change really does freak me out. Like, I have a hard time reading about
it. I haven't started yet. Stop. You can't talk about it yet.
Cheers. I like it. It's like a gin and tonic, but you're just put a little extra something.
Yeah. Here's what I like about it, a lot of it. I could go without the vermouth.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
Well, it's in there. It's too late now.
If I could do it all over again, I would take out the vermouth. Are you ready to freak me out?
I am.
Okay, your 15 minutes starts now.
Okay. This topic is coming to us from our good pal, Randy.
Ugh.
And you know it's fucked up because he texted it to me with an emoji that was like, eek. And I was like, if it freaks you out, Randy, I don't even know if I can read about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah. I did, and I'm going to talk about it now.
Okay.
We're going down under.
Okay. For this good one. Day, mate.
But not
hello,
for...
governor. And damn it, I mess him up every time.
No, that's really good. It's not spiders, it's not snakes,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to a bank vault.
Oh, yeah, we are.
It's May 20th, 1999.
Got it.
In a small Australian town called Snowtown.
How would I have guessed that?
I don't know.
Love it.
A team of police officers are here in the vault as part of a months-long investigation into the disappearance of a woman from the area named Elizabeth Hayden.
Okay.
The bank has been closed for a bit, so it's like not an active bank. It's just a building that happens to have a vault in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And when they open the vault doors, there's no money in there, Megan.
Uh-oh.
They find Elizabeth Hayden's body.
In the vault?
Decomposing in acid inside a large plastic barrel.
Okay.
They also find 5 other large plastic barrels.
What's in those?
With a total of 7 additional bodies.
Oh, no. Is this like a mob thing? Or like a...
No, it's not mobs.
It's a really bad bank teller.
So I wrote, since Australians are known for their creativity, the case quickly becomes known as the Bodies in Barrels Murder.
Okay.
But it doesn't really roll off the tongue, so it's actually called the Snowtown Murders.
Okay.
Which in Australia is a big, giant deal. So maybe you would have known about it. I don't know what kind of news you read.
I don't know, but I'm intrigued.
Okay,
really quick. The cops were there investigating the disappearance. Are you going to get into what brought them to the bank and all of that?
Yeah.
Like, why they were at the bank?
I will get there.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, I've sort of been off the whole serial killer vibe because I'm like, once you know one, you know them all.
Exactly.
Okay,
like, potato.
Here's, like, a guy and he's killing women or whatever.
We get it.
Boring. So this one's, like, a little different, which is why I thought I could bring it to the table.
Okay.
There is a gross man in the center of it all.
There always is.
But he didn't do his work alone.
Oh, no.
And unlike most serial killers, most of his victims were men.
Interesting.
Elizabeth was, like, one of the few women.
I don't know why I don't think about that often. You don't...
Yeah.
That doesn't happen a lot.
Exactly.
Huh.
So we'll get into it. John Bunting, he's our ringleader.
Okay.
He's a native Australian, born in 1966. You know, showed an interest in violence from a very young age, of course. He's really into weaponry. He killed his best friend's dog. That kind of stuff.
I feel like things like that, too, where you're like, you guys.
It's like a real red flag, if you ask me.
Very much, yes.
In my opinion.
But not that I ever would, but if I were going to be a serial killer, I would have a much more fun trait. Instead of like, oh, I'm going to kill someone's dog. It's like, everyone's seen that.
Yeah, exactly.
Shake it up.
Plus, you don't want to be the one that's like, when the police come and they're like, hey, do you think Megan could be the serial killer? You don't want to be the one who killed your best friend's dog.
Well, because that's exactly, they're going to be like, yeah, it was.
Yeah, exactly.
It definitely was.
Also, kind of common, when he was really young, when he was 8, a friend's older brother starts abusing him physically and sexually, which sets off this lifelong hatred of pedophiles, which is like, duh, you should hate pedophiles, but also a hatred of any gay person or any man he considers weak.
Not great.
So as a teen, he got a job at a slaughterhouse in town and reportedly told his friends it was a great fit.
Another red flag. Remember we did the female serial killer where she like hung her like butcher knives over her bed, and it was like the best job she's ever had was to be a butcher at the at a slaughterhouse. We don't like that.
Into adulthood, his hatred of pedophiles grows into an obsession. One room in his house, he has like basically covered the walls like Beautiful Mind style with photos and names of men in the area who, with no evidence, he has decided are pedophiles or gay.
Okay.
Like, just rumors, or he just assumes, in his own mind. The monsters of the neighborhood, basically. And in 1991, he decides it's time to start taking action. So he assembles a crew.
Do you think he thinks he's, like, a hero by doing these types of things? Of, like, it's like a Dexter type thing of, I only kill the bad people. Right. Okay.
So first up, this guy Robert and his girlfriend Vanessa, John befriends them, ends up moving in with them later that year, and all the while is getting them like all riled up about these quote predators in the area.
Oh boy.
Robert and Vanessa join the crew. They're like kind of in on it.
They're really easy to recruit.
I think it takes like a little bit, but I don't know, maybe he's super persuasive.
Okay.
Then John meets Elizabeth Harvey. They start dating, and a little while later, they get married.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Elizabeth's son, James, also joins the crew. He gets him in the mix, and I'll get into that. I'll get into that a little bit, too.
I want to.
A neighbor, Mark Hayden, might remember that last name from the body of the woman found in the bank. He becomes friends with John, joins in as well. So, Mark wasn't the only killer familiar with the victim. So, like, Mark Hayden, his wife, is in the barrel. But of the 12 victims that were eventually connected to the group, there were, like, 8 in the bank and 4 more were found buried. Most were friends, acquaintances, or family members of at least one person in the serial killer gang.
I feel like this is not reaching the goal of what you think the gang is, instead of just, like, my boss made me real mad today, and then it's like, let's go get him type thing, versus any proof.
Yeah.
Also, just maybe don't do this.
Exactly.
I do want to say that part, too.
I think that is important to say.
I want to know what those conversations are to try to recruit someone.
I know.
Like, you just, like saddle up to them at the bar, and you're like, hey,
yeah, you gotta think that, like, they weren't starting at, you know, even.
I want to know what the elevator pitch is for it. Of like, how do you feel about that scene?
Yeah. Okay, so the victims were chosen at random, like the first victims from John's wall, but like his wall is people that
he
live
made
in
up
his
in
neighborhood,
his mind.
But also like people from the neighborhood. So it's like people he knows.
Yeah.
And like maybe they said one thing, or he just like, whatever, saw them walking a certain way. People he had decided were pedophiles or homosexual. Sometimes he just thought they were too fat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now there's no rhyme or reason to this.
And once he picked someone, he would call them, like call them up, and just start making threats, kind of like start terrorizing them. So it's like kind of started as like
bullying.
Is
there no caller ID in Australia?
I mean, we're in, like, the early 90s. I don't know when caller
ID
came. Late
90s. You said 99.
That's when they found. Got it. This is in, like, 1991 when it starts.
Okay.
So he would call them up and tell them, like, I know you're harming kids and you're going to get what's coming to them. And they would be, like, they would go and abduct them. And once they were abducted, almost every victim, in various ways, like, there was no one MO for any of these victims. They were, like, beaten and tortured. He made them address him as God or Master, like, while he was holding them. I think he's a psychopath. I don't think there's much to understand.
It's like a mini cult a little bit, too, right?
Yeah.
Like,
the members of the crew would often steal their victims' social security info and, like, bank details, and because no one was finding their bodies for years, they were, like, disappearances. And so
How are they so good at hiding these bodies?
They would use their information to basically collect their pensions.
Mm.
And, eventually, over the years, stole about $100,000 from, all of their different victims. I'm not going to go into all the details of all the 12 victims because it's pretty graphic.
Yeah, I don't need it.
And it gets a little repetitive with all the torture. I'm already mad
about it. It's fine. All the torture.
But I'll touch on a few.
Okay.
So John's first victim was Clinton Trezise.
Sure.
Clinton. He's a 20-year-old who John invited over to hang out in 1992. And at some point during the hang, John accused him of being a predator and beat him to death with a shovel.
Okay.
John.
Just him by himself?
So John did the killing, and then Robert and Vanessa, his roommates at the time, helped him bury the body in a different part of town where it was found 2 years later by the police. But they, in 1994, couldn't figure it out.
There's no way of solving that. Yeah, exactly. We don't know what happened. So it was recovered before they actually caught the group.
Yeah, he was one of the four that was not found in the bank vault.
Right.
In 1997, that murder, Clinton's murder, was featured on an episode of Australia's Most Wanted. John was watching,
of course,
along with his wife, Elizabeth, and her son, James. And during the episode, John says to them, "That's my handiwork." And that's the first time that he's introducing James to this idea that he's a killer and maybe he wants to get in on it.
That's his first time telling them? Yeah. His wife already knows.
I think so. But and James definitely does it.
And it's like, cool.
Yeah.
We're stepdad ever.
And James is kind of into it.
Uh-oh.
So the second victim was killed by John and his wife, Elizabeth, together. And John, again, told all those details to James, hey, your mom and I just killed this guy. And basically, starts to acclimate him to this idea that, violence is okay. You can help us out.
Right.
Your mom's in on it. It's all good.
It's all fine. It's all fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Another victim was a friend of Robert's cousin. She was a transgender woman named Michelle, staying with that cousin. They abducted, tortured, and killed her, and she was the first one to be put in a barrel.
Did they kill her because she was transgender?
Yes. Yeah.
Ugh.
And then they staged a robbery at the cousin's house and blamed Michelle, saying, she robbed you and stole your money because she's this horrible, gross person, whatever. And so people, for a long time, thought she left on her own and took all the money, and so they weren't looking for her.
Right.
Another...
She's in the bank vault?
Yeah, she was found in the vault.
Are we going to talk about how they got access to the vault and put the bodies down there? Okay.
Yeah. So Vanessa Lane, Vanessa, Robert, and Vanessa,
mm-hmm.
part of the crew, helped get rid of the first body. She's now a victim. Wait. This is, so confusing because it's, multiple people who are in the crew also then become victims.
Yeah,
and so it's all a spider web of
Maybe
everything.
Maybe we need a beautiful mind. I really do. Or something.
Okay,
yeah.
So Vanessa starts in the crew. She leaves Robert. She has a new boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And her new boyfriend helps John and Robert kill her.
What?
Yeah, he turns on her and lets him into the house.
That's a bad boyfriend.
I agree. And then a month later, John kills that boyfriend.
I was going to say, that boyfriend's about to die too.
Because he knew too much.
Why did they kill her?
Because she left Robert.
So none of these, there's no... I know. They're just a killing group. They're a gang
that
kills.
In his mind, he's I'm ridding the town of pedophiles, but they're just killing anyone that they don't like.
Well, also, obviously, he makes people call him God.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah. A friend of James was chosen as a victim because one time John accidentally sat down on a syringe that friend had used for drugs in the house, and it kind of poked him, and it made him so mad. So they killed him.
Okay. All of those things are ridiculous, honestly. Every part of that is ridiculous.
Before they put him in a barrel, so John and Robert killed that guy, they proudly displayed his body to James, who had a good chuckle over it.
Oh, great.
It's it's not a good group. It's not a good
group. No, thanks. Yeah.
So at this point, James is fully in. He helps them kill his own half-brother and his own stepbrother, mm-mm. who John didn't like because he was really clean and well put together. And he was he's obviously into
sorry,
men.
Sorry, sir, you're too put together.
Yeah, your clothes are too nice, so I know what that says about you kind of a thing.
Right.
And that stepbrother, David Johnson, was their last victim, killed the same month his body was found in a barrel in the bank. So, how'd we get to the vault?
Yeah.
The police believe that John and his crew moved the barrels to the bank right before they found them there.
Mm-hmm.
The theory is basically they had all these bodies in barrels at their properties and then heard that the police were looking for Elizabeth Hayden, and they kind of got spooked because obviously Mark Hayden, you know, is in on it.
Right.
And so Robert leased the bank in his name and they put all these barrels in the vault.
How do you just buy a bank?
I guess it was for rent because it wasn't a bank anymore. So he rented it out. They put all the bodies in the vault. But at that time, these guys are all like in each other's lives. They're like living together. They're down the street. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that they're like a crew.
Right.
And so they're looking for Elizabeth Hayden, Mark's wife. They know Mark and Robert and John are all together. So right. It's like very stupid that he rented this
wouldn't
bank.
You also like be terrified to be friends with them or like hey, you want to go get a drink? And you're like, no.
Absolutely not.
I don't.
I actually don't. Why are you holding that shovel?
Yeah, exactly.
They move the barrels to the bank. It's in Robert's name. It's all connected. They go and they find all of the bodies. The very next day, after they find the bodies, they arrest John, Robert, and Mark. It's like so clear what's going on.
Right.
I mean, it took
because the bank is in his name right now, anyways.
And yeah.
It's like, okay, well,
and
this
Mark's
is the crew.
Wife is like there. Also, John and Robert killed Elizabeth Hayden, and then again brought Mark in to show them his wife's body, and he was like, "Ha, so funny. Let's get her in that barrel." You know what I mean?
Jesus.
Like they really, lost their minds. It took him an extra 4 days to arrest James, the kid who was living at John's house at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so John and Robert were charged.
James did help, though, with some of these murders and stuff.
He was, in on it.
Okay,
so John and Robert were charged with the most murders, all 12 for each of them.
Mm-hmm.
And their trial lasted about a year, which was the longest in Australian history. Obviously, like, captured everyone's attention.
Mm-hmm.
John was found guilty of 11 murders. He was sentenced to 11 consecutive life sentences. Robert was found guilty of 10, got 10 consecutive life sentences.
Mm-hmm.
James, the son...
How old was James?
I think early 20s.
Okay.
So he pled guilty to 4 of the murders and then was also convicted on 5 additional counts of assisting with the murders.
Okay.
Mark Hayden, whose wife was found in the barrel, was paroled this year in February. He had the least charges because they couldn't find actual evidence that he killed anyone. It was just that he helped cover up bodies and stuff like that.
Still not great.
Yeah. So, but he served, like, I think 18 years or something and was granted parole and is currently living in a pre-release center in the same town, which the newspapers say is making many people in the area, quote, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, maybe move. Maybe I get out of there. I think move.
And then the last thing I'll say is that in 2011...
Let me see how much time you have. You have 16 seconds.
Perfect. In 2011, the story of all these murders and John and all of his gang became a movie called Snowtown, which many critics raved was a masterpiece of cinema, while also acknowledging that it was, quote, unwatchably violent for casual viewers. Like, they're like, most people won't like this because...
So we're not going to watch it tonight?
It's fucking gross.
You don't want to watch it?
I don't think we should. But anyway, those are the Snowtown murders. Thanks, Randy.
I can't believe I've never heard of it. Like,
I can't
never
believe
once.
You haven't either. It's gross and wild.
It's
and
like a weird, I feel
gross.
Like you never hear about, like, when you talk about Australia, it's like, yeah, let's talk about the animals, let's talk about the spiders,
yeah,
let's talk
you
about
never
the bugs.
Talk about the fucking weirdos.
Part of me, too, is like, how charismatic did you have to be to get some people to be like, hey.
Yeah. I read a bunch
about
the trial
and
stuff.
That's not the
takeaway. Like, I read a bunch about the trial and, like, all these lawyers afterwards, including his own, John's lawyers, were like, this guy has literally no emotions. He is textbook psychopath, like, no remorse, no anything. Mm-hmm. And yet he could get all these people to, like, do these horrible things with him.
I mean, I feel like that's what a cult leader is.
Yeah.
That is what it is, honestly.
Anyways, should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break and get in. I've been pounding this drink, so we can take a break.
I can make another one without the vermouth for you.
I'm not against it. All right, we'll be right back. And we're back.
We're back. Megan.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Are you feeling freaky? Are you feeling ready?
I feel like I didn't want to say this during your topic, but we might have a little bit of a themed episode happening here.
Oh, okay.
And this
is
one...
Is the theme murder?
No. It's the theme true crime. I told you this. This is a real messy topic for me. I went all over the place in my notes, and I was
I
like,
feel like,
should
I
it be about this or this?
Should have also said mine was messy, but I didn't.
I mean,
and that's on me.
I guess my thing is just roll with me.
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's a big copy paste from multiple articles and stuff. So we'll do it.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Your 15 minutes starts now.
Lauren, how many bones would you break to get laid?
Zero. Unless we're talking about D's.
would break a D?
I guess I've never broken a D, and I don't plan to ever.
We do have one friend who has, and I'll tell you about that later.
Oh, fun. Well, my personal high note for just me.
I'll say it's the one that you think it
I
is.
I already know.
This was the title of an article that I stumbled upon when I was looking up a different topic.
Okay.
I quickly pivoted, and I was like, what's this now? And the article was titled, How Many Bones Would You Break to Get Laid?
What does that even mean? And why are people breaking their bones?
Here we go.
Okay.
So this is going to be like a handle. The name that I'm going to talk about is like a handle on like a website, like a forum.
Gotcha.
His handle is Truth for, the number four, Truth for Lie.
Okay.
The time of, the, like, some of these things happening, he was 27. He was depressed. He was living in a student apartment after a year in a psychiatric hospital. He was on suicide watch.
Oh, man. Do we know when this is?
This is recent.
Okay.
It's recent. I can't, that's all I know. Mm-hmm. I should know more. As this is happening, his friend shows him Neil Strauss's pickup artist guidebook, The Game.
Okay. Is this, like, gross? Like, pickup artist? You know how there's, like, that whole trend online of, like, guys being, like, you deserve any woman you want. You just, whatever. Is it kind of like that vibe?
It's kind of a, just let me go through my topic, please.
You're like, no interruptions?
So, when this friend that introduced this book, together, the two of them practiced lines to each other from the book. They were going through it. They were going to use them on girls at nightclubs. One of the lines is like, would you kiss me? I didn't say you could. And just some things like that, which apparently works.
It's really?
I don't know. He found
it
really stressful.
If I say it to you later, do you think it'll work?
I'm busy.
Okay.
He found it really stressful, actually, when he was, like, out there trying to practice it, because there were certain rules, too, of, like, if you see a girl, I think one of them was, within 3 minutes, you have to approach her and try and talk to her, was one of the rules.
Whoa.
And he's, like, it felt like I was taking a test, like an exam. It was really stressful. So he had a little bit of success with it, but it wasn't going great. But he was just trying to get out of this depressed slump.
Yeah.
Living like, with his parents.
Trying to get some tips and tricks, because when you're feeling down,
exactly.
You're not feeling flirty.
He's going for anything right now. Eventually, though, he stumbles on a forum. It's called Slut Hate.
Yeah.
And
I don't like that.
It's anonymous men that are gathering to, quote, discredit the effectiveness of pickup art. In one post, a user described coming to the realization that it didn't matter what he said to these women because of the way he looked.
Uh-oh. Wait, what are these men called? There's, like, a name for them, and is that your topic?
What do you think they're called?
It's, fuck, it'll come to me. Keep going.
Okay. The forums posters, like, all of these posters, people posting. I don't mean posters
incels.
On the wall.
Is this about incels?
My topic is incels.
Yes!
God
oh,
my
God, I can't believe we've never
You're
talked about
incels.
You're
not even letting me do it. But it's one part of it.
Oh, I can't believe this is the first time it's coming up.
Yeah, okay. Honestly, me too. When
Thank
I was researching,
you for doing this.
Never even heard of it.
Really?
Until right now. Yeah.
Oh, my God, Megan.
Yeah. So
they're the worst.
The people that are posting on these forums are blaming women's rising social power. That's what's wrong with their lives.
That's
these
why they
men.
Can't get laid.
So, yeah. Basically, back in the day, women without careers married for stability. Today, they eventually like would spend their 20s riding a, quote, cock carousel of the hottest guys they could land, settling for an uglier, average-looking man only when they were old and used, i.e. above 30.
Ew.
Yeah. We're about to get, girl, we're about to get so heated in this episode.
When you also, were I love cock carousel.
I mean,
what a fun name for your 20s.
Also, your birthday's coming up.
Going to the circus.
Right. When you were talking about, like, men that don't have a lot of self-esteem and, like, were your topic, and I was like, we're going to have a themed episode.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Even back in the day, they claim, women could hardly be depended on for loyalty. They were showered with attention on dating apps. They're favored by divorce courts. They're beloved by HR diversity initiatives. Women have now become a privileged class. I don't know if you knew this.
I mean, I'll take it.
I mean, one thing, though, that the forums forgot to talk about or mention are things like wage gaps. They also don't talk about, like, pregnancy discrimination.
Sure,
they also just, like, conveniently forget, like, sexual violence. And they're like, no. Women are so privileged.
Yeah, exactly.
So, now, this was going to be my reveal, I guess. The people that are posting on these forums call themselves incels.
Mm-hmm.
It's short for involuntary celibate.
Mm-hmm. That's why it took me so long to remember what they're called, because I remembered the cell, and I was like, I know there's, like, a... Like, they don't want to be.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. They're like, we don't want to be celibate, but we are. It's like a really weird, like, power shift to, like, way of, like, being very aware of your status.
Yes.
But, like, putting the blame elsewhere.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to be celibate, but these fucking women. Yeah.
It's not like I can fuck anyone I want. It's like, it's I can't fuck anyone.
Why don't we look at ourselves and see, like, what are we doing here?
Oh, I'll get into that a little bit. Yeah. So, overall themes of these types of forums are failure and frustration, along with anger and hate. So, most posts people are posting are in their teens or early 20s. They have all experienced rejection, negative encounters with women.
I was an incel in my teens.
Well, I'm almost done talking, though. Hold on. They're in their teens or early 20s, and many have experienced rejection or negative encounters with women.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, sure, yes, I guess we all have.
Yeah.
But they go to these message boards out of loneliness. They find this group of, like, angry men, other angry, frustrated men, pushing the idea that they have lost the genetic lottery. They're like, it's not your fault that you're ugly. It's not your fault that, like, no one wants to fuck you.
It's, but like, it is so close to being, like, good help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is. But it's them being like, well, they all come to the same resolution of there's nothing we could do about it.
And it's women's
there's
fault.
There's absolutely nothing we can do about it. It's all women's fault. They are particularly drawn to the, quote, black pill theory.
Ooh, I haven't heard of that one.
They say it on a lot of posts. Okay. So, like, oh, sorry that you took the black pill.
What is it?
The black pill means they are the only ones who realize that the game of sex and attraction is rigged from birth.
Oh.
Meaning, sorry that you had, like, took the black pill. You know from birth you're not going to have sex because you're too ugly.
What?
It's things like that.
What a horrible thing to think about yourself.
I don't want to take the black pill ever.
Oh, me either. Mm-mm. Take that pill away from me.
Oh, get out of here. Self-help or positivity is frowned upon on incel forums.
What a just a sad place to be.
Oh, it's terrible. Like,
can you
imagine? The more I was reading about this, the more I was like, how have I never heard of this?
I can't believe you haven't.
I was like, this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
So, positivity is frowned upon. Anyone who successfully interacts with a woman is branded a fake cell or a fake incel. Like, how dare you go on a good date?
But isn't that what they want?
They don't. It's like weird hate. Like, they want to band together and
like
find...
Like, they're mad that women don't like them, but they don't want women they to
be,
like
they want
to
be angry. They want a common enemy.
Yeah.
So when one of them is like, actually, I had a great interaction.
Terrible.
And everyone's like, fuck you, get out of here. Because they're mad probably too because they didn't have that. They don't have that. It's a weird mentality.
Yeah.
Thing. They all share the idea that all women are money-grabbing, promiscuous, and manipulative. And it's all across all of these threads, across all of these webs. There's multiple websites.
Mm-hmm.
Also, attractive women in particular are referred to as Stacies.
Love that. Are we Stacies?
Oh, we're the motherload of Stacies.
I haven't heard this one before.
Okay, so attractive women are referred to as Stacies. Stacies are objects of both desire and ridicule.
Of course.
So it's confusing because they want them.
Do you think that their theme song is Stacy's mom?
Oh, she's got it going on. Absolutely. I think that's where they found it.
Yeah.
So they don't know if they want her or they want to hate her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of a weird thing. So in their world, they believe that Stacy's will always be chosen by so-called the other counterpart, Chads.
Uh-huh.
Chads are who was picked over them by Stacy's. Chads are a caricature, basically.
Chads are fucking.
But Chads are a caricature of sexually successful men. That was my note. Yeah. So comparisons are not just like confidence, personality. It's very physical. A lot of the comparisons they make to Chads are incels believe that they are genetically inferior to Chads.
Oh my gosh. So much self-hatred.
Yeah. It's a lot. Like, it's a lot of like, we should be studying this maybe.
Oh my god.
So they're like, it's not your fault that Chad's just like won the genetic lottery. Like, they
like, he can't do anything.
Yeah,
about
their
this.
Jaw is better than your jaw. They're more chiseled than you. Their muscles are better than yours. But it's not your fault. You took the black pill.
Yeah.
That's not your fault. So it's not it's not like go to therapy, go to the gym, start figuring some stuff out, work on yourself a little
not
bit.
Not my favorite corner of the internet.
I don't have a lot of favorite corners of the internet. So Chad is often depicted as a successful guy with blonde hair and muscles. Often, I didn't write this down, but I remember wearing neon green, like, stretch pants. It's literally a cartoon.
Yeah. Interesting.
You don't
see a lot of neon green stretch pants.
No, I mean, not yet, but we can start it. He often has a very chiseled jawline. While these all seem, like, super funny and laughable of, like, this caricature, this cartoon that's been, you know, made of Chad. It's important because they kind of create like an us versus them mentality online, which can be a little bit dangerous too. Like it's us versus the Chads. And yeah, the Chads are genetically superior to us, but like they don't say like we have this. It's more like fuck them.
Yeah.
It's only anger and fuck them. It's also like fuck the Stacys a little bit too. So
are you going to get into violence that's come from this?
I didn't want to. I'm going to get into a different aspect of it because it got too dark.
Wait, did we ever circle back to how many bones you would break?
I'm not there yet.
I didn't know.
That's what I'm going to circle back to.
Okay, we're circling back.
But to your point, too, a lot of violence, a lot of mass shootings have been done.
And, like, violence against women.
Yes, has been done by people that are on the incels form. They believe that sex, love, and happiness are out of their reach, available only to others. So, let's look into a little thing of, like, what if they could become a Chad?
Are some of them secretly trying?
A lot of them are, and it's not a secret. They're
but
openly...
But I thought that they're not trying to get girls.
No, they're openly mad that they're...
A lot of contradictions going on in their lives.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, their life is a contradiction. Yeah. But when working out other tactics didn't work, they begin to set their sights on plastic surgery.
Oh, no.
A lot of incels...
Oh, I didn't know this either.
This is... basically what my topic is the plastic surgery. I'm getting into it now. Well, I was like, that's why I said this is all over the place. It started only with the plastic surgery, and I was like, I need to figure out what these people are. So, what if they could become a Chad? They go to plastic surgery, they're researching, they're on the forums, and a lot of them are talking about, like, I want that chiseled jawline.
Yeah.
I want to be a Chad. I didn't win the genetic lottery, but I could make
myself.
Yeah,
we live in a modern world.
Exactly. So many
of them...
They
listen to The Freak Show. They're hearing about the plastic surgeries.
Oh, absolutely. So, they basically are all coming to the same name when they're doing research. And it is Barry Epley.
Okay.
He is a cosmetic and reconstructive surgeon in Indiana. And he's done some great work. And all of the incels are like, we gotta go to Dr. Barry.
Why?
We gotta go to Dr. Barry.
Is he one of them?
No.
Is he a Chad?
No, he's not. But they're all talking about his results. It was like 2014 is when they started talking about Dr. Barry.
Yeah.
On Slut Hate.
Love it.
They're very interested in custom facial implants that he designed.
To have better jaws.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're all like,
Do you think he knows?
I have that answer. Okay. Dr. Barry is not sure. Like, the person that wrote one of the articles went to him, interviewed him. He's going into, like, his office. Dr. Barry is showing all of these things that he's invented for plastic surgery, all these, like, new inserts or whatever. And Dr. Barry even admits, he's like, I'm not exactly sure why a patient would want some of the things that they ask for, like testicles the size of a dinosaur egg.
Is that a quote?
Yes.
Like, someone asked for that?
No, he showed the implants that he invented, like a clamshell, to make it happen.
But also, like, good point. Why?
Right. And, like, his whole thing is he designs these things in response to patients' requests. He says, if my practice had a slogan, it would be, quote, we don't care why you want it. He says, I think patients seek me out because they know I won't ask them. Yeah. I don't see it as my job to cast a judgment.
He's just like, science lets me do this. Let's do it.
He thinks that it's like I shouldn't judge you. I'm not judging you.
I guess I could get on board.
And he starts making points of, like, how is it different than, like, a woman that wants breast implants? How is it different than, like, a transgender person who wants to fit in their real body? How is this different?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, but I want to make that argument because it is different.
I mean, it is different. And also, we're also coming at it through the lens of these men who are horrible.
Oh,
yeah. Who've decided to just, like, be filled with anger towards women. So I'm going to freely judge them.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. I absolutely will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this philosophy is really part of his appeal, especially for incest. I don't know. It's weird to say. Some surgeons will not operate on patients they believe have body dysmorphia.
Time's up.
Okay. I'm almost done.
Okay.
Some surgeons will not operate on patients that believe that they have body dysmorphia, which a lot of people think that incels...
I was gonna say, is that what they would categorize this as?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because they really obsess over it. They obsess especially,
and they think,
like,
that, like, if I change my body, people
for
will
chads.
Like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On these forums, incels argue that this diagnosis of, like, having body dysmorphia is reverse discrimination, and that women seeking procedures that fix really small flaws are don't have that same response.
Which is true.
I mean, like, why are we being told we have body dysmorphia when other, like, again, women don't?
I don't, like, fully disagree. Also, I just don't like them.
No, I don't either. Well, that's
I think that, like, colors my feeling. Because I think you could also argue that, like, women who are like, I need my breasts to be bigger, they might have body dysmorphia.
Probably, yes. You that's why, I mean? But I like them. Exactly. That's why I found a lot of this, a lot of my research, like, really polarizing. Yeah. Like, this next thing I'm going to read. So, much like women that get breast implants or South Koreans that get eyelid surgery or bodybuilders that take steroids, a lot of the people that post on incel forums seem at first to be motivated by the desire just to look better, basically. Mm-hmm. And then therefore they think they will be treated better. Right. However, in a weird twist, incels tend to be the perpetrators rather than the targets of violence and discrimination.
Yep.
So they are just big bullies who are also trying to get plastic surgery and look better and look fancier because they think they'll be treated better. So they are all a bunch of very toxic men only trying to fix their outsides rather than just go to therapy.
Right. I think that's the, like, that's our theme of the episode is like, hey guys.
Yeah.
Maybe try therapy a little bit. It should just be. A little bit.
Yeah. So my last things are the guy that I opened with, the truth for lie or whatever, he does end up flying from the Netherlands to go to Indiana. He has multiple surgeries with Dr. Barry.
Is that where the bone breaking comes in?
Yeah. So, like, that's how many bones they would break to get laid, is because they want to be Chads.
Yeah.
The doctor basically has no idea that he is the like, the author of the article shows him the forums, and he's like, huh.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's crazy. Like, he had no idea. He's just like, I'm just trying to, like, find these implants for chiseled jawlines.
Yeah.
Like,
no judgment.
He calls it model, like a model look. He doesn't think of any, like, why would he, honestly? Yeah. So I wrote, let's hear some more gross incel shit real quick.
Love and it. I'll end on Rapid fire.
I'll end on one, maybe. So Mike is a tour guide in Austria. He's in his mid-30s. He has spent much time on incel forums that he, quote, doesn't know anyone in real life anymore.
Well, but it's not going to help you get laid.
Here's the thing. He doesn't consider himself an incel. He's like, I'm not really an incel. Because he slept with 50 women in his life.
50?
But only, quote, 10% were hot.
Ew. Yeah. Mike, fuck you.
And he's talking about, like, online dating.
Yeah.
And he says, quote, an average man has to swipe about 114 times on Tinder to get one match. And he goes, how many matches and messages do women get? Even women with gross deformities, women with disabilities, morbidly obese women. He's, like, posting these things on the forums. Of, like, it's not fair.
And also, like, women aren't getting nice shit.
No, not always. But still, he's like, it's not fair they can fuck someone, but no one's messaging me.
These people.
So Mike recently got the jaw procedure from Dr. Barry, plus a hair transplant. After the surgeries, he met two girls at his other job, teaching comedy.
Oh, no.
And he considered them, quote, cute. And he took this as a sign of success. He is now investing in cryptocurrency in hopes of getting more procedures with Dr. Barry.
Of course he is.
And I'm going to end on that one, I think.
I think he's a real, like, star student in the incel community.
I wrote down, I was like, teaching comedy, cryptocurrency. This it's thing's like, got it's all everything.
The hits. All the hits.
So that's my...
I can't believe you did incels.
Yeah, I can't believe that you were... I can't believe I'd never heard of it.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
I mean, gross episode.
I think you win.
Because of the bodies?
Because of the murders. And I was like, here's some disgusting men online, which we all know are out there anyways.
I mean, I'll take it. I'm not going to be a sore winner.
Take it, baby.
Thank you guys for listening. If you're an incel and you listen... Why are you listening to this? Like, I don't think you would.
Please don't write us anything.
Don't write anything. Don't subscribe. Don't whatever. Maybe seek help.
Yeah.
But anyways, for the rest of you, rate, review, subscribe. You can follow us on Instagram at TheFreakShowPod. If you have topics, you can email them to us at TheFreakShowPod@gmail.com. Put Lauren or Megan in the subject line. And Megan, do you have a little high note for us? Because I feel like we really need it.
My high note is that Memorial Day is coming up. We are traveling to Tennessee. We are going to go visit Kevin's family. We're going to go meet his new nephew.
So fun. How old is he now?
He was born in March.
Okay. So he's like... out of the alien shape face.
Like, maybe looking. Able to the hold. Like,
I thought you were going to say talk, and I was like, I don't think that's how fast
do my taxes. I'm going to do it real quick. You know, I'm like, I'm showing how you hold a baby kind of upright. Like, can you do that yet,
I think you still support the neck, but it's not so smooshy.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I will report back and let you know how it goes. But we haven't, like, done a trip in a while, so excited to go just see some family, hang out for a long weekend, and just do that.
Nice. I have, like, a weird bonus.
Okay.
High note that might not apply because things could change day to day between when we're recording and this comes out.
Uh-oh.
No cicadas yet. Where are all those bugs?
Here's the thing. My topic this week was almost cicadas.
Really?
I started looking it up and I was like, I can't.
I'm just, like, bracing myself for all those bugs. And where are they? Okay. Are they wrong about the dates?
Kevin was trying to convince me to do cicadas. And he goes, people are slipping on the guts and the bodies like banana peels.
Where?
I don't know. But I don't need them.
Okay. I just feel like maybe we got duped and there's none coming.
I feel like we can't do this, high note, because by the time this comes out, there's going to be cicadas everywhere. And you just summoned them. They heard you.
I know. Sorry, everybody.
All right.
We'll be back next week.
We'll get out of here. We'll be back next week. Later, freaks.
Later, freaks.